At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Hegley. A very, very big win for the Illini, 95-85 over Iowa in Champaign. This is one that you hear, you know, big win, huge win, whatever, a lot of times during a season, but this one qualifies. The team was on the precipice after a third collapse, the second one resulting in a loss, a game that Illinois needed to win down the stretch, and they did. There was no comeback that was allowed against Michigan State and Penn State that resulted in a loss, and no last-minute miracles required that happened against Nebraska. Does it mean that the Illini's struggles are over? No, it doesn't. But it does mean that they got the big win when they needed it, and they did it on a day that Domask and Shannon did not have their best games. Putting up 95 points and the two of them combining for 20 shows you just how much offensive firepower this Illini team has. Nico Moretti made a big impact as well. This should be an interesting podcast. We'll be right back with Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince after this.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
And as promised, I'm back, and Kedrick Prince is with me. Kedrick, I thought this was a key win. We hear about big games and pivotal games a lot during a season, but after Penn State, which was the third second-half collapse that we've seen, where they lost to Michigan State, they needed a miracle call at Nebraska to win, and they got, they collapsed at Penn State. This was a big win that Illinois needed, and they were really good down the stretch and closed off the game very effectively. You were there. You're sitting in press row. What jumped out at you?
Well, there was a number of things. Number one, I got to give them credit because a win is a win at this point. I mean, you're right. You can't, have another loss. I mean, another bad loss. And not that I was bad, because I know there's this big rivalry, Mike, between the schools. But I'm going to tell you, Fran's a good coach. I mean, like it or not, Brad Underwood said in his press conference, the thing he likes about Fran is how he developed players. He has guys I've never heard of before. And I follow recruiting like it's my life. And somehow they're just, every year he has a great shooter, a guy that can put the ball in the basket. And Fran runs really good stuff to get them looks. And it's just, I have to give him credit. And I liked some things that Brad Underwood did, a lot of things that he did today. My favorite thing was, you know, I can't say on the air what he said when he subbed out all of his starters, because if I said what was on air, you guys would probably fire me. But he was really upset when he subbed them in the game today and put his bench in, who I thought did a tremendous job given the situation, because I know they weren't expecting to be in the game. And then Nico Moretti, which I'm sure we're going to talk about later, but boy, what a performance for a kid that hasn't played much.
Yeah, I thought that was a heck of a performance. And I got to be honest with you, looking at Coleman Hawkins, you do not see a player score 30 points on 11 shot attempts. He was 9 for 11 from the field, 3 for 5 from the three, and 9 for 11 from the free throw line, 30 points. About the only thing that was crazy was he had 5 turnovers. But most of those were early in the game, and down the stretch, he really cut them down. But, you know, 30 points in 29 minutes and only taking 11 shots is that is an amazing game. And if you would have told me, and I'm going to ask you this, Ked, if I would have told you Illinois is going to score 95 points, they're going to win by 10, and Domask and Shannon are going to shoot 6 for 19, what would you have said?
That's a recipe for L. There's no way that they would have won. But you had Coleman Hawkins, like you said, who stepped up. I thought Dane was good. I think he was a little rusty. I tweeted they didn't have an answer for him. But, Mike, you're right. That would have been an L, and nobody in their right mind would have took that. A lot of people were on Twitter, they were kind of criticizing Terrence Shannon. I applaud him. I talked to his mom after the game today. And I told her, I said, you know what? I applaud your son. She was like, why? Because he could have forced the issue. Coleman was having a great day. He did not force anything. He took what they gave him. At the end of the day, we always talk about a win and being a team player. Terrence has been on a roll. People want him because he scored 35 last game. You know, they want him to score 30 every game. Yes, it looks good on paper. But tonight it was Coleman's turn. You know, so, and it doesn't matter if it comes from Coleman, Nico, or Quincy, or Marcus. You know, you want the win, and Coleman, it was his night. I mean, he, and I don't know if people realize it. I know there was one, because I questioned it. Some turnovers, when you get an offensive foul, people don't realize it, but that's a turnover. So, I mean, I don't know. I know he had one on a cheap call that was a push off that I can't believe, but I'm going to talk about that again, but I'll be brief.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. I got to be honest with you. I looked at that and I was like, wow, that was a crazy one. And of course, we forget, but this was kind of a big game because this was Illinois' 1,000th Big Ten win and the 20th win of the season this year. It couldn't have come at a more important time. Of course, you know, we'll talk later on, but you got, you know, you've got Minnesota coming to town who's overachieved. You know, the beat, it doesn't slow down in the Big Ten. Can you talk a little bit, because you've coached for years, having Nico come back and really get a ton of time in a game like this and perform well, how hard is that? And then the follow-up is how would you characterize the importance of a point guard and the play that he had, the play that, you know, what he did for the team today?
Well, Mike, to answer the first question, it is tough. It's different if it's a non-conference game early in the year when you hadn't played and you're getting in and you know you're going to win the game because you're playing a Division III school or NAI school or junior college team. But that's – I know they don't play junior college team, being sarcastic. Yeah. But that's different because you haven't played. And to be asked to go in the game and when you're down at crucial time to run the – you know, to run the team, and not just to go in there just to be a post player, but to handle the basketball, and he was expected to do it. I'm glad you asked that question, because in late game situation, one of the beautiful things, and I'm really blessed to have an opportunity to sit at press row, one of Fran's assistant coaches yelled at Fran to foul Nico because he doesn't play. They were going to gamble, and they were trying to foul him because, I mean, let's face it, he's probably only shot 5 or 6 all year. I don't know, but that was their game plan. So, you know, kudos to the kid, you know. And then the second part is just being able to go in to be effective the way he was and to run the team and to have a point guard. Because you know what I noticed today? Marcus Domas deferred to him. And he and Ty Rogers, they handled the ball all year. And for in a game like that, because, you know, let's face it, Marcus is dominant with having the ball in his hand, and so is Terrence and Coleman. They deferred to Nico. They had confidence in him. I don't think people realize how big that was or how important that was. Because let's face it, they're not freshmen anymore. They're sophomores. The season's, you know, 75% over. But the kid to go in the game and to knock down threes and free throws, and I was impressed with the different press break, big press offense, whichever terminology you like to use, and him getting the ball because he's quick enough. And I don't think, because he's not on top of anybody's scouting report, Mike, they didn't know what to expect from him.
Yep, I agree. And could you also comment on, you know, what Imani Hansberry meant? Because I will tell you, when Coleman Hawkins has to guard a 5, you know, that's a tough situation because he's 6'8" and a half. But the bottom line is he's 200 pounds. He is not a, you know, he's not a big man from a thickness standpoint. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, Freeman could push Hawkins out of position a little bit. He could still do it occasionally to Imani, but there were times that Owen tried to back in on Imani and Imani didn't move at all.
I'm going to give you Brad Underwood's reference. He said Imani has tree trunk legs, meaning his lower base is strong and you can't move him. He is going to be a really, really good basketball player. I put a joke on Twitter who I was sitting next to, Tom Kakin, who's a good friend of ours, Mike, and, you know, asked me, he said, "Kid, who is this kid?" And I told him he didn't believe me, so he went to Google and started researching, and that's why he didn't play a lot. You know, I talked about his back and being an older group, and just watching him and not seeing him play, because Tom's a good evaluator of talent, he was really impressed with his footwork, his ability to shoot with both hands. And the one thing that brought the conversation up was, if he doesn't get a rebound, he's going to get a hand on it, or maybe a teammate's going to get it, or he's going to tip it to somebody else. If Illinois can hang on to him, and I'm not saying he's going anywhere because we know how the transfer portal works, that kid is going to be an outstanding player alongside of Moraes Johnson. They have to try to keep that kid. I'll tell you what, the future looks really bright with both of those guys, because he hasn't made any threes, but there's a reason he can shoot the jump. He's shooting the jump shot because he can do it. They just haven't gone in.
Yeah, I thought he played well. And, you know, it was interesting because Justin Harmon had a rough game against Penn State. He had several key rebounds, you know, got up there athletically for a play at the rim that was pretty incredible. And he hit some free throws when it mattered. I thought it was a really nice comeback for him.
Mike, one of the things, you know, you can do as a coach, it doesn't work for every kid, to send a message is to take away playing time. Justin Harmon did not get in that game until the under 4 media timeout. Brad was sending him a message. He sent one to Coleman. Look at the performance by both of those players. They understood and they got the message today. They are too good of a team. They are very, very, very talented to accept mediocrity. They're better than that. So today, you saw him make free throws. You saw him go up. You saw him guard. You know, you saw the energy that he brought off the bench today. I mean, and let's face it, what I don't understand, the clock is ticking for a player like him. You know, the clock is ticking for Marcus Domas or Terrence Shannon Jr. You should want to bring that energy every game. If you're going to lose and just say, you know what, Tipper had Iowa was a better team. Penn State's not a better team. I don't care if they beat Indiana today. Indiana's trash this year. Illinois is a better team. But leave it on the court. And today, like I said, Brad sent that message. I think he's going to continue to do it. He's always talked about his bench to us during the preseason. We've never seen it. Today, you're starting to see it a little bit. Actually, you know, the last couple of games, you know, so you're starting to see some flashes of the young guys, and you never know, you may need them in the tournament. In the tournament, it doesn't matter if you got to play 3-on-5, it's win in advance.
Yeah, you're right. And it's, it was really interesting to see, you know, how the team did, because they were under pressure. You could see in the last, you know, 3 or 4 minutes that fans were a little bit nervous, and they cruised right through it very well. One other thing, when you were looking at Guerrier, you know, I thought he had a return to form, particularly there in the first half, that was really good, but he played well throughout the game.
He played really well, but the reason he came out, you know, because the TV doesn't show a lot, well, the different angles. Brad wanted him to rebound. There were rebounds that I think he could have gotten. I don't know if he still is a team leading rebounder, but there were balls that he didn't go get. That's why you saw Amani Hansberry in the game early. He wanted rebounds. And that's why, if you also remember, when he cleared his starters out and put his second unit or third unit reserve, I don't know which term, but I don't want to offend people. That's why he put them in. You have to – rebounding is toughness. I mean, I agree 100% with Coach Underwood with that. And there was opportunities that he let go. And that's why, you know, people want to know why he didn't play in the Penn State game the second half. You got to rebound. You know, because, I mean, he's proven that he can do it. When you're out there letting teams go get the ball and you're standing there and then you're not jumping or putting a body on somebody, that's a recipe to sit on the bench. I was walking to my car talking to a fan, and he was asking me about Nico Moretti and one of the women's players, Gretchen Dolan, and about, because they're young playing. And I said, you got to guard and rebound. If you want to play at this level and you're young, you want to prove to your coach you want to be on the floor, you can't be a liability. There's other people can score, but you have to guard and you have to rebound.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I think that's a good message. The other thing is with Moretti playing a little bit better, now, not that we can expect 9 points and 2 rebounds and an assist. You know, I don't know that you can expect that from him every game. But if he's playing better and the ball's moving better, does that give you the opportunity with him sticking the 3-ball that you don't have to play Luke Goody as often? Or if the matchups defensively are really against Luke, that you can – maybe put in Moretti and then you go bigger at every other position?
You know what, Mike, it's a great question, but you got to look at matchups, because I mean, there was a chance where I think Iowa put Dix in the post. They saw him and they tried posting him up. That could be a recipe, because he's not a big kid. I mean, let's face it, he's not. If they're going to do that to Luke Goody, then Nico doesn't have a chance. Did the offense run good through him today? Yes. And I'm going to tell you, Mike, I don't, you know, you and I are homies, man. We're boys. But you asked if we could expect that every game. I don't know why you can't. Play the kid if he's good enough. And I am a person of my word. When I am wrong, I am wrong. I have been very critical of my colleague, Brad Sturdy, about Nico Moretti. And I want to apologize to Brad, because Brad saw something in Nico that Kedrick Prince didn't see. So kudos to Coach Sturdy and to Nico, because I didn't see it. And Mike, he could do that. He might not score 9 every game, but I'll tell you what, he's quick and he can handle the basketball and he is not afraid. So it's possible that he could come in and just run the team, and he gives them 4 to 6 points and 3 or 4 assists because he's looking to pass the basketball. I'm cool with that. And obviously he can shoot it a little bit, so he's not a liability there either.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. So with that, the last thing I'll bring up, and then we can kind of do a wrap from your side, is the thing I thought was the biggest stat of the game was when you look at what Iowa did shooting wise, you know, in the first half they shot 62%. That is just unacceptable. And you should never allow that. Second half, Illinois held them to 35.3%. That is the defense that Brad Underwood talks about. And if Illinois can hold a team to between 35 and 40%, most nights Illinois is going to win that game.
Mike, I am so super duper glad you asked me that question. I'm going to give a different take. And I know you asked me, but I'm asking you and for all of our listeners and people who just follow you and I on Twitter and Brad, I would love to know this because I thought about this today. I'll use Kedrick, have been very critical of their defense, giving up a lot of points. But I think there's a reason for that. I think the reason that they're giving up so many points is now that Brad's teams are soft. Mike, you can't guard anymore. Everything is a foul. Everything is a foul. You don't know how to play defense. It's like everything is a foul now. You know, there was a play in the second half. I don't remember which it was because, I was baffled by it. Iowa player goes to the basket, makes a spin move, and the official calls a foul because he was hitting the head. And it wasn't. I mean, you can see it on the jumbo screen. And I'm looking and thinking, how do you play defense? You're going to touch somebody in the game. And that had nothing to do with the game. And so I know the NCAA wanted freedom of movement. I get it. I understand. But maybe Illinois is not a bad defensive team because I know Terrence Shannon is tough. I know Coleman is tough. But you can't guard anybody. There was a play today where Coleman Hawkins was getting open and then the Iowa player flopped. You know, Ty Rogers was trying to fight through a screen. And you don't know how to play the game. And I think it's tough on the kids. I don't think it's fair to them. You know, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And I don't want to make people dislike me. I have a huge problem with officials. I just do. Watching them call fouls, watching them just, you know, see the last guy and then they get the foul. Whether it was Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, it doesn't matter. Illinois, I think, is a tough team, but darn it, Mike, you can't play defense. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to go and put a body into somebody. Here's an example. Every coach teaches, put your hands straight up, straight up. You do that, it's a foul. And then I've gotten frustrated because I thought, you know what? Quit letting them get an and one. Stop the and ones. What does Luke Goody do? He gets a good foul, and you call an intentional foul. So the guy doesn't make the shot. So I'm asking the listeners and you, how do you play defense? You're supposed to, you go straight up, it's a foul. If you make sure they don't get an and one, it's a foul. The officials, and it is hard to play the game because you don't know. I would never give up and ones. That he got a flagrant foul because he went up in the air, his arms accidentally hit that kid in the head, and you get a flagrant foul by rule. I don't know if Illinois' defense is bad. I just don't. I don't think you can play. I don't think you can guard. Luke Goody's a big kid, and he's a strong kid. But if you touch somebody and then you got coaches like Fran McCaffrey and Tom Izzo in your ear the whole game, they're going to call a foul. I'm sorry for the rant, but I'm just frustrated with it because I feel bad for the players. You don't know how to play the game.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to argue with you on that. I think that one was one too where Luke kind of went up in the air and the guy walked underneath him, which then makes the chance of hitting him above the head possible because you're going to try to land, you know, when you lose your balance. I will say, I thought Ben Cricky, he played the most like I did of anybody I've seen in a long time. You know, he like when he was so mad when he got a call against, you know, when he fouled Hawkins while shooting. And I wasn't certain that he fouled Hawkins when he was shooting either. But when Coleman,
he did not foul him.
But he did. But what he did do, though, is he pushed him in the back with both hands when Hawkins was jumped up to catch the pass that came to him in the first place. And typical Big Ten refs didn't call anything. And then when Hawkins shoots, then they call a foul that didn't happen. It's hilarious how that works. But Cricky, I thought he was the embodiment of everything we learned in the 80s, Ked. Because if somebody on the other team happens to be running across the lane at the same time he is, he's going to put a shoulder in. He'll use a straight arm to push somebody away. He'll you know, use some hips. I mean, it was like a 1980s how to defend. And I thought he did everything that I was famous for. I used to get all of our AAU kids so frustrated because I'd hip check them, hip toss them, do all sorts of stuff out on the court. And they would be like, that's a foul. And I'm like, not when I grew up. And somehow Cricky gets away with all that stuff because he's so good at it. I found myself, you know, I was like, I was laughing as I was tweeting about it. But basically, you know, it was unbelievably how adept he is at doing that. And the guy's just a total pain in the butt for the opponent because he doesn't get called for much. But if you're within 2 feet of him, he's going to connect with you somehow on the court.
Well, Mike, you know, we were talking about the Iowa State-Houston game. And here's, I think, the philosophy. And I give Iowa credit and, you know, and Kevin Sampson. If you're going to play that way the whole game, make the officials call it the entire game.
Yeah, and it'll work because the officials will feel like they're calling too many fouls. They're giving too many free throws to one team. We used to see the opposite of that when my oldest son played with a kid who was, you know, in junior high. He was all state. This kid would have, at the end of the first quarter of an eighth grade game, this kid would have 14 points, six of them on free throws because he was bigger and stronger than everybody else. And they would have to foul him. And then we noticed that, you know, he'd get six free throws in the first quarter, and then the referees would be like, oh crap, we can't give him this many free throws. And then he wouldn't shoot a free throw. It was like clockwork. He would not shoot a free throw until the last 2 minutes of the game when they couldn't swallow the whistle. You know, so I do think that's a way to play. And unfortunately, when Underwood tried that with a little bit slower team his first 2 years, we saw how many fouls the refs can call.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. So I just, you know, I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? Because there were plays, Mike, where, you know, Iowa would have a guy, Perkins would drive to the basket. I know how good of a defensive player Terrence Shannon could be, but you better not touch him. If you touch him and he goes back, even if the shot is gone, they're going to call a foul. I mean, the one guy, High Knees, was so frustrated with Fran today. I mean, he was talking to the scores table because Fran was just was upset. He went back and looked at the replay while the kid was shooting the two free throws. I don't think it was Coleman Hawkins, and he kept yelling. He fouled it. It's the same guy. Look at it when you get home. He told Fran that. So I get it, man. Like I said to you, it is hard, you know, to play because, again, what's right, what's wrong. I don't like to stand there with your hand up because if you stand there with your hand up and the offensive player initiates contact, even if you're straight up, they're going to call a foul. So what do you do? Just stand there and let them score? So the NCAA, they have enough issues, you know, within. They need to revisit that because it's not good basketball. I don't want to see teams – I don't want to see the Detroit Pistons and Chicago Bulls. I get it. But, damn, I don't want to see a team that's as athletic as Illinois is. You can't get out and challenge somebody's manhood and guard them. I don't like that.
Yeah. Now, I will give credit, though. You kind of mentioned this. But the one thing is when I hear people say that Fran could be in trouble, you know, at Iowa, I just roll my eyes because I take a look at the team that he's got, and somehow, no matter what, he gets a team that's competitive in the Big Ten. He gets a team that if you give a guy an open shot, they're going to make it. And they play enough defenses that they keep you off balance. And even though they may not be the most athletic team, you know, they might run a half court, you know, or a full court press. They do all sorts of different things. And I look at this team and you think about this and, you know, the rankings of the players and stuff on the team. And I'm sorry, but I think Fran McCaffrey is a good coach. And if Iowa fans think they can just get somebody as good as him, I think they're nuts.
They're kidding. Mike, I mean, it's – I'm really sorry. That dude is a good coach. He really knows how to coach. His offenses – and here's what's weird. I'm sitting here, and I'm sitting on more on the Iowa side than the Illinois side. He doesn't have to call anything. His kids know what to do. I mean, and it's different things. The only thing that they would do differently, they would call out different defenses. Other than that, that was it. I just don't understand. And I know it's fun because he gets mad. He called one timeout just so he could yell, you know, yell at the official, you know. And is it overrated? You know, yeah, you know, to a certain extent, because he's fighting for his team. I saw him yell at one player all night, and that was Owen Freeman once because he didn't block out. He doesn't yell at his players, which is, it works for him. It does. But his X's and O's and his ability to develop talent, call me stupid if you want. We're watching it. Tony Perkins was a nobody. Who in the hell was the kid? And he has a bunch of guys on that team that are just gifted offensively. I'm impressed with them.
Yeah, and like I said, there it seems like no matter who shows up at Iowa City, they all, when they leave, they're all freaking sharpshooters.
all of them.
Yeah, yes. I know. He's a guy that, like I said, I think he's a solid coach. You know, you might say, well, he could recruit better. I'd say give him more NIL, and you know, Iowa is in the middle of nowhere. So there's a certain degree of players who just would rather play somewhere closer to something, you know. And that same thing can be said about Champaign-Urbana as well, you know, but nonetheless, Illinois plays Minnesota 8:00 Wednesday night. Any thoughts on that? I don't know if you've had time to scout Minnesota much. I will tell you, they are way better than what I thought they were going to be at the start of the year. I certainly didn't buy in that they were going to be a very talented team, but I have to give them credit. They've pulled together very well, and as you look at this team, it is just one that makes you sit back and you say, okay, this coach may be a little bit better than what people thought he was going to be, and you know, I hope the Illini are not looking to Saturday's game against Wisconsin and not thinking about this Minnesota team that they're going to be dealing with, because that could be a very, very big mistake. You know, Dawson Garcia is a good player. Cam Christie, good player. And I think that Farrell Payne is really, he may be a handful on the inside, because that guy is thick and he is strong. He is a power player.
Illinois is not good enough at this point to overlook anybody. Example, go see the Penn State game again. Yeah. They better not overlook anybody. The Big Ten, you have to play, and you better look to win every game, because every team is haunting Illinois. That they're one of the better teams in the conference. If they, you know, because I don't know a team that's in the Big Ten that's a gimme. And I will tell you, Illinois is in a lucky situation, because if there was two places this year I would not want to go play, one of them is in Nebraska and the other one's Minnesota. I mean, I just think they're lucky. Yeah, because Minnesota's getting better. This is his second year. I judge a coach by this. You know, what they run, how they execute. And if you can recruit, they're going to be okay. You know, I watch a lot of women's games. I mean, I just do. And I think some of these coaches that have replaced other guys and women, if you can get players, they're going to be successful. And this year, the transfer portal has made it available, so that way there's no more I don't even believe there's blue bloods anymore. I just don't. I think it's nice to say, but that transfer portal, Mike, has changed the game. It's a different look now, because Illinois is as good as anybody in the country, you know, and they're not considered, I hate to say it, Illinois fans, a blue blood. Because now you can go get those players. And Ben Johnson, I think, is a great coach. I think they're going to be prepared. People are going to run things. When I tweeted, and I think you commented to me tonight on the out of bounds play, because we had a discussion about that last time. Teams are going to continue to watch how to get Illinois and score on them. You know, so it's, and I'm sure he's going to do the same thing. They know it's going to be a tough environment, but they're looking to get a quality win to add to their resume and hopefully get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's going to be a tough game. I really think Illinois has four tough games. They got to play Minnesota, then you go up to Wisconsin, and that is not a good place to play. And then you have Purdue coming in with Edie, and then you have to go play at Iowa. that's a scary four games, even if you have a good team and even if you're playing well.
It is. That's why the Penn State loss frustrated so many people. Because let's face it, I don't want to contradict myself. You're playing at home against Minnesota. That should be a gimme. The rest of those games, you could lose every one of them. Yep. Yeah, you're playing Purdue at home, but you've lost to Maryland at home. So this stretch is tough. And I think that's why Brad is frustrated. He's not stupid. I mean, you know, Wisconsin, Illinois is beating Wisconsin, I think, last two or three years up there. And they're reeling. Again, Illinois is going to be a trophy game for somebody. So go up there and play bad and don't shoot well and don't protect the basketball and don't rebound. You're going to get beat.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Well, thanks for coming on, Ked. We appreciate it. And we will be right back after these commercials.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-523-6376. That's 800-523-6376.
And we're back. I'm joined by Brad Sturdy. Obviously, he's the Illini Uber insider. Only Lauren Tate's been covering the Illini longer than Brad, and that's only by a year or two. So, Brad.
He's coming by 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it's funny because Lauren gets mad at me when he says I think he started covering Illini. I think he said it was like the 67-ish. And I'm like, hey, dude, I was born in 67. He just looks at me and gives me that icy stare. so this win was one that I think would be called a pivotal game. I don't believe in must wins until you get into the NCAA tournament. But to me, this was a game that if you lost it, the Penn State game metaphorically reached and got a second game from you. And I thought this was critical, especially that the Illini held on to and actually extended their lead in the last 4 minutes of the game. What were your thoughts as the game ticked down?
Well, I was really impressed with the way they played offensively. They attacked the basket. Yeah, they made some threes, but they weren't settling. They got to the line. And defensively, man, they actually held Iowa. You know, Iowa came out and scored early in the second half. Over the last 15 minutes or so, they held them under 1 point per possession. When you can do that to an Iowa team that is one of the top 10 teams offensively in the country, that's really good defense. And that's not something we've said very often about this Illinois team this year, is that their defense, you know, can help them win. And it did today. They got great minutes from, you know, we've talked about this off air. We talked about Imani Hansberry and Dane Danger up front. I thought they helped a lot. And then Nico Moretti comes in the game as part of kind of, I think, Underwood's purge, where he was angry at the, he just took all five starters out and got mad. And Moretti was the fifth guy, and he picked up four guys, and then he sends them to the score table. Well, he needed a fifth one. He's like, oh, you, Nico. And he sends him in. Well, then he plays 17 of the next 18 minutes, basically. And so it's like, wow. And it was large part because he guarded, you know, and that's always been the knock on Nico. Offensively, he's fantastic. But does he, you know, can he guard? Well, he was fighting through ball screens. They tried to post him. He held his ground. He did a good job. Now, is that going to happen every game? But probably not. But that was fantastic. It was really fun to watch that. And then the Iowa pressure with him on the floor. You had one ball reversal against that press, and then he just dribbled through it.
Yep.
Because he's too quick. He's fast. You know, he's got that explosion. So, Yeah, I was really impressed with what they the adjustments they made. And defensively, Mike, they didn't play the same defense. They fought through screens. They didn't take the easy way out to get mismatches. You know, we've seen this all year where Illinois just switches when they don't need to switch, and then it creates a mismatch. Well, they didn't do that today. They fought through some screens off the ball, and that really made a big difference.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I thought Moretti was very interesting when he got the ball against that press. He reminded me of a tailback who saw the hole, and he had the ball handling to get through the gap, because it seems like the Illini take their time sometimes, and or they conversely try to make a pass before they're ready. You know, he got the ball, and he saw this. He saw a path that you could drive a truck through, and he turned on the jets, and you know, there they were. The Illini were you know, in position to start engaging in the offense. And boy, that's a nice trait to have out there on the court.
Yeah, no question. I think it makes a huge difference. I will say this, and we haven't even mentioned really Coleman, right? Coleman Hawkins is 30 points, but he put the ball on the floor. Coleman didn't settle today, right? I mean, he also took the ball to the basket. He made those shots early, but he is such a tough guard when you don't have mobile athletic bigs. And he is really hard. And you know, he played. Look at where he played today, too. He played a lot of four today.
That's exactly where they need him. Yep.
And they played 14 minutes. Now, down the stretch, they move him back to the five because it makes you more versatile a little bit defensively. I get it. You know, it made sense. You didn't want to give up threes and let him get back in that way. And you want to make sure you're handling the ball. You don't want Dane on the floor to shoot free throws at the end. But you know, this is – but I thought it was really good to see him show what he can do. And that's where he's really good. You know, and I think Amani – Brad Underwood said post-game, he said, Amani would be playing 20 minutes a game if he hadn't had the back issues. And Brad's prone to hyperbole, you know, but I think he would be playing 12 to 15 minutes a game if he didn't have the back spasms and issues with his back and things like that, because he brings energy and he does some things. So you've got a guy who now you can run ball screens, you can get Moretti downhill, and you know, when Damask Shannon had
bad games, and then they both were not good today. This team can't win. Well, you wouldn't think they could win, right? But they did win. And with them having bad games, something we would have said they couldn't have done previously.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. If I would have told you that Illinois was going to score 95 points on a day that Shannon and Damask went a collective 6 for 19, I'm not certain many people would have taken that bet. And it was an interesting game from the standpoint, and I don't have these stats in front of me, and to research it would be incredibly hard. But no game comes to mind for me with somebody scoring 30 points on 11 field goal attempts.
That's pretty insane, right? I mean, we always talk about when you get like 20 points on 10 shots, it's awesome. Well, how about getting 30?
That's exactly.
Kind of insane. He was great. I mean, you know, I can't, you know, he had five turnovers, but he had five assists, five steals, 30 points on 11 shots. So it offsets that. You know, he was trying to make plays. And I think that's where he was aggressive. He came out and he was going to show something, because, you know, I don't want to put the Penn State loss all on him, but he knows that he had an opportunity to win that Penn State game. And he had an opportunity, if he plays well, they probably beat Penn State, right? And so this was his opportunity to kind of step back and take it in stride, and it's just huge maturity. That's something we probably wouldn't have seen from Coleman in the past.
Totally agree. The other thing is Justin Harmon kind of turned into a mini rebounding machine when Illinois needed him, and then at the free throw line, you know, 6 for 6 is incredible. And I thought that when they were kind of, you know, needing big play, he made two or three in a row.
Yeah, Harmon was great. I mean, you know, he's plus 23 on the plus minus card. He did what we saw him do at the beginning of the year, where he's an effort guy and playing, knows what he's supposed to be, understands his assignment, getting to the spots, you know, making free throws, attacking the offensive glass. You know, he had there were a couple plays he didn't get rebounds on, but he kept the ball alive. I think one went to Coleman, he put it back in. Those are the kind of – those are winning plays, you know, and it's the same play. Like, Coleman had the play where he, you know, dove on the floor and got the ball with 3:45 to play. Those are winning plays that you make. And Brad Underwood talked about that at postgame. It's like, if you don't do that consistently, there's going to come a time in March when it happens. And I've always said, like, you don't want to regret something that you didn't, you know, because you didn't give 100% effort or you didn't do this. And that they didn't do that today. They didn't leave those plays out there. They went and got that ball and they made the plays they had to make, especially in the second half, where they were much better defensively.
Yeah, they held. I thought it was pretty incredible when you take a look at what they did, you know, in the second half defensively, holding Iowa to 35% shooting. If Illinois can hold a team like Iowa to 35-40% shooting, they're going to win the vast majority of their games. And that includes, to be honest with you, that includes in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, there's not many teams that can score with them. So, you know, if you hold them then to 35%, they can't score. I mean, so they can't, you know, slow them down, really. I mean, really, there's been like one or two teams all year who in the last, you know, since this mid-December, early December, who even slowed Illinois down offensively. And I think Maryland at home, but that was with Shannon out. So and there really hasn't been that. And so if you just play, like we've said, you know, just play solid defense, be a, you know, a good defensive team, you know, that then you're going to win. The Illinois gave up 19 shots at the rim today. It's the fewest since they played Rutgers at Rutgers.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And they tried it different defensively, didn't switch as much, fought through screens, did a better job of forcing them into tough twos. Now, they fouled a few jump shooters, which I think was a concern, but I'm not sure all those were really, some of those were pretty soft, little phantom action, you know, in fouls, which happens. That's, I guess, part of it. But, you know, I thought that's a key. You know, don't foul, make them shoot twos over your contested stuff, and you have a great chance of winning almost every basketball game you're going to play.
Yeah, and I thought this was good because I thought the coaches made some subtle differences to the defense. As you talked about, you know, going through some of the switches, not as much drop coverage at time, and not as predictable where they're doing the same thing every time. And I thought that made a difference. And I thought the players, particularly in the second half, answered the call to play harder and play smarter and play tougher. And I think the combination of maybe a little bit different tweaks to what they were doing, coupled with some determination from the players, made for a much better result on the defensive end.
Yeah, that is so true. And I really think that the players had to, we've talked about it. We wrote about how, you know, it's really an effort. It's not necessarily a scheme issue. It's an effort and energy and attention and detail issue on the scouting. And now, you know, Underwood talked about it, they can't make those scouting mistakes. They can't keep doing the same thing over and over. And I think that's where they learned today. I mean, I think they showed some growth there. And now you got to bring it the next game, and when they play Minnesota, and then they got to take it to Wisconsin against Purdue and at Iowa. Rest of this year, if they can play defense the way they played in the second half, and play with that energy and that effort, attention to detail, it's a team that can really score the basketball, and so they're going to be successful.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Now, the question I had is, and this is a good one to ask of you, is when you have – I don't want to put the expectation that Nico Moretti is going to have 9 points every game, going to go 2 for 2 from the three, going to have, you know, 3 rebounds or a couple rebounds. And, you know, I don't think that's fair to expect that type of production and only one turnover. But if he's playing at a higher level like this, down the stretch of a game, does that give you the opportunity that you can put, you know, you can have a lineup where it's, you know, Hawkins, Guerriere, or Hansberry along with Domask, and then you can, you know, Shannon, you know, where you're kind of big except for the point guard, but now the point guard can hit a three. It almost makes it easier that you don't need to put Luke Goody into bad matchup situations. Am I seeing that right, or am I making something up?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think it really does change things. And I was really impressed with him and the defensive end because he competed. You know, I'm not saying Nico Moretti may not play 17 minutes another game this year. But how about at the end of a game, how about the end of the Penn State game, would you like to have him being a guy dribbling up against pressure? Yeah. I mean, you'd like that, right? And or you get a ball reversal, it's him coming up the floor, pushing and attacking and getting cross half court. I mean, you just have that guy. And it's a shame because I really think, I mean, this team's fantastic. I mean, they're a really good team. You know, they have their issues. They're not a top five team or whatever. They're a really good team. But I can't imagine what could have happened had Hansberry and Moretti been healthy all year. And if Shannon hadn't had his issues as well. I don't know where this team would be, but I think they might be a legit top. They might be a top five team if everybody's healthy and clicking and had that time to, you know, get connected and over that time period. I really think they might be. They might rank the top 10. And then, you wonder if they get a 1-2-3 seed, something like that. And I think they really make some noise.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. Now, they've got a pretty tough four-game stretch here because Minnesota has drastically overachieved compared to their expectations, and they're, you know, looking to do anything they can to get a win or two to, you know, put on their resume. Then you have to go to Wisconsin, which is arguably one of the three or four worst places to play on the road in the Big Ten. Then you get Zach Edey coming in, and then you have to face these same Hawkeyes at their arena. This team is, while I think this was a pivotal game where they stopped the bleeding from Penn State, it's not like it gets much easier the rest of the way through for the Illini.
No, it doesn't. Minnesota's playing well, and so you got to take care of business there. I think they're obviously better at home than they are on the road, but, you know, I think it's a game Illinois should win. You win it at home. Then you go into those last three games, and anything you do in those last three games, you can win two out of three. You feel really good. And let's be honest, if Illinois can beat Purdue and Wisconsin, they probably move themselves up a seed line, you know, from a 4 to a 3. I really think that happens if they can win these next three games, I guess, going into that Iowa. I'm not sure the Iowa game even matters at that point. I mean, maybe for a Big Ten title, maybe not. But if you win these next three games, you're probably looking at a 3 seed. In the tournament, and definitely would lock up a 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament. So, lots of things still to play for, lots of opportunities for them to do some things. And I think that's where you have to look at it. You know, they're not a finished product yet, but I think they've made a lot of strides, and I really was impressed with the way they handled Tony Perkins today, the way they made it tough for Sanford to, you know, get shots off. I thought they, you know, other than a few offensive rebounds, I thought and some fouls that were questionable, man, they really made it tough on Iowa. If you take away those in the second half, because Iowa had, it is a rare thing. Iowa, of their like 8 offensive rebounds, they scored 13 second chance points. That's very that's a lot. Usually it'd be like 8 and 8. Take 5 more points off the board in the second half from Iowa. Boy, it's a different game, isn't it? I mean, you know, it just makes everything look different.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Anything else that jumped out at you?
I thought it was a really good crowd. I thought they don't panic against different defenses. Iowa really changes defenses.
Yep.
I thought they did a really good job of not doing that. And sometimes it's funny, you know, I talk to, you know, the coaches on occasion, and I was talking to Chester about a week ago, and I said, you know, when you put Dane in the game, you really have to feed him the ball, because he's not effective if you don't get him the ball. You can't have him not spacing, you know, throwing the ball and let him play out of the post, because that's what he's good at. Now, he missed some finishes in the second half, but you see them doing that now, and then it becomes, he's less of a factor on I think he plays better on the defensive end.
Yep, when he gets touches
on the offensive end. And it also makes them guard him, and you make them maybe get a double team or whatever out of that. And I think, so, you know, it's interesting that we're just talking about that, and that they've done a much better job of not just sticking him in there for 2 minutes and then never throwing the ball, because why would you want him to just go in there and not play defense and not get the benefit of his offense? I think that's a good thing. I like Coleman Hawkins playing more 4. We talked about that a little bit. Terrence Shannon, I like when he went to the basket today. And it didn't happen but a couple times. But he's got to be a little more aggressive attacking the hoop. I think he settled for a lot of threes today that he didn't really need to. And so, you know, you never know. Maybe he's a little under the weather. We don't know how these guys personally are. But I thought, you know, Demas also had some opportunities to maybe get in the paint. He drew a couple fouls, but could have done a better job getting the basket. I think there was a lot of openings to drive and attack that you saw guys like Moretti later in the game took advantage of. And you hope that they and Hawkins did as well. So you'd like to see those guys be a little more assertive offensively in a game like this.
Yeah, totally, totally get that. Yeah, and I thought Guerrier's dunk really brought the crowd into the game. And then I don't think they left the game, metaphorically speaking, for the rest of the time.
Yeah, they were pretty fired up. And, you know, it seemed like every time Iowa, even, you know, it's like when you put in the subs, I think that fired the crowd up too.
Yes, it did.
And they're like, hey, guys are in. Here we go. Let's go watch these guys play. You know, I mean, like all these two guys, go get them a money. Go get them Nico. You know, it's a lot of fun stuff from the crush.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you. It was nice to see the kids get a chance because, as you said, Hansberry's got a – he's got a nice future. Moretti, you know, allows you to do some things. And you know, you never know what you're going to need in the NCAA tournament. And get them a little bit of seasoning now so that that when they get a chance under some pressure in the tournament, that they're the right guy for the job.
Yep, no question.
Perfect. Totally any final comments, Brad, before we let you go?
No, just a good win. Take care of business. Get a day off tomorrow. Get ready for Minnesota and this end of the season grind. They're a good spot. We've seen lots of teams lose this week, and it's going to happen, especially on the road. So take care of your next couple home games and you know, split the road, and you feel pretty good.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Brad. And we will be right back after these messages. And thank you so much for listening to Eye on the Illini. We appreciate each and every one of you for allowing us to speak to you for a few moments here. Next up on Wednesday, 8:00 on BTN, Illinois will host Minnesota. That team is a better team than what anybody thought they were going to be. The Illini will have to bring it to get their win streak up to 2 and prepare for Saturday's big game at Wisconsin. We will be back with an episode of Eye on the Illini after the game on Wednesday. We look forward to talking with you then, and let's hope it's all positives and we all feel great about it. Of course, if you've enjoyed our podcast, please hit the 5-star rating. That really helps us a lot. Additionally, you can come to IlliniGuys.com and subscribe and be a part of the program. It's a community, and we really think that more people, the merrier it is, especially when we get on the message boards and people start debating all things Illini and even other sports. We look forward to seeing some of you jump on board there as well. With that, a thanks out to Brad and Ked. We will see you next week. Go Illini. Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcasts, starting out with Eye on the Illini. That's where you can listen to myself, Brad, Ked, Matt, and others talk about the recent Illini events that are in the news. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's award-winning podcast where you can hear 20 years of people that he's made contact with to talk about all things Illini, and Ked's Recruiting Roundup where he talks to players, coaches, and parents about what it's like to be recruited. Make sure you subscribe to all of those so you're always in the know.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Save big money on your next painting project. Menards carries Purdy paintbrushes, roller covers, trays, and paint kits to help you get the job done right. Purdy brushes are handcrafted in the USA and are the number one brand preferred by professionals. Save big on Purdy painting tools at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.